Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Very blessed and happy Sabbath to each one of you. And welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And praise God that we're able to gather together once again in sweet fellowship and in worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. Before we get into our lesson, let us please bow our heads and kneel as far as possible for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being in control of thy work all over the world. And Lord, we would not have it any other way. We ask that you will please be in our midst. Please take control of this meeting and the other meetings to follow, and we pray, Father, that you will allow the atmosphere from above to come down to each one of us. Please prevent the devil or any of his agents through any methods to disrupt our ability to comprehend and understand the truth as it is in Jesus. And we thank you so much for doing so, for you are the Almighty. Dear Savior, we ask that thy presence will be here in our midst, and please shine your bright beams of light and righteousness to warm our hearts and dispel all darkness. And dear Spirit, we ask that you please be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth, to help us see ourselves as we really are, and then please comfort and encourage us to look up and find life. We thank you, Godhead, for being here in our midst, and please continue to dwell with us and to bless us, especially on this wonderful Sabbath. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing to read in our lesson book, Steps to Christ. And let me put the book here in the room. The link is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're down to chapter 8, which is entitled Growing Up into Christ. And you'll have to scroll down to about the middle, just past the middle of page 71. And the paragraph beginning is highlighted there. It starts out, when the mind dwells upon self. So down to the middle of page 71. When the mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ, the source of strength and life. Hence, it is Satan's constant effort to keep the attention diverted from the Savior and thus prevent the union and communion of the soul with Christ. So what happens when we focus away from Christ onto ourselves or onto the things of the world or onto other people, what happens? We lose the source and strength of our spiritual lives. And that's why Satan is constantly trying to interpose himself into our lives to get us away from looking to the Savior. The devil is constantly coming up with new ways in which to divert our attention away from Christ and thus break the connection of our strength and life. And without the strength and life of Christ, we are lost. So we're in chapter 8, of Steps to Christ. We're down to the middle of page 71. So the devil is constantly trying to turn our attention away from the Savior. And how does he do that? By getting us to focus on self, by getting us to focus on our circumstances, by getting us to focus on others, by getting us to focus on the things of the world. And if we're focused on anything other than looking up to Christ, we have no strength to resist the devil's temptations. So the devil's constant effort is to keep our attention diverted away from Christ and thus break any union and communion of our soul with him. Continuing. The pleasures of the world, life's cares and perplexities and sorrows, the faults of others, or your own faults and imperfections, to any or all of these, he will seek to divert the mind. So, inspiration has just showed us part of the devil's battle plan. It's the devil's goal to divert our attention away from Christ. That's his battle plan. And if you know the battle plan of your enemy, that's half the battle already won in your favor. So then if we know what the devil is trying to do to us, and then we spot him doing it, what are we then to do? Continuing. Do not be misled by his devices. So if we see that he's diverting our attention, don't allow him to do so. Keep your eyes focused on Christ and refuse to turn them away onto something else. So don't be misled by his devices. Many who are really conscientious and who desire to live for God, he too often leads to dwell upon their own faults and weaknesses. And thus, by separating them from Christ, he hopes to gain the victory. We should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. All this turns the soul away from the source of our strength. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in him. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Say with the Apostle Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is Galatians 2:20. Rest in God. You won't find any rest by looking to yourself. And you won't find any rest by looking to the things of the world. And you won't find any rest by looking at the faults of others. The only place you'll find rest is in your Lord God Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So take Christ at his word, trust in Him, and then leave everything in His hands. Rest in Him. So instead of focusing on your failings, talk and think of Jesus. Instead of focusing on how far away you are from living the perfect example of Christ, focus on Christ. Put away all doubt and dismiss your fears, believing that you're never going to make it. Because in Christ, it's not you that will live, but Christ will live in you. And thus you'll be able to do the works of God. So, dear ones, rest in God. Continuing, He is able to keep that which you have committed to Him. So take yourself out of your own hands and put yourself in the hands of God. Worrying about whether you're going to be saved or not is not going to help you become saved. Because no one can gain salvation by worrying about it. Just as we cannot add a single centimeter or an inch onto the height of how tall we are through worry and anxiety. So none of us are going to be able to enter into heaven through worry or anxiety. That's why God calls us to Him to find rest. Worry brings anxiety. Anxiety and worry bring doubt into your heart. Doubt disbelieves God's ability to save you. And if you doubt God, then you no longer have faith in Him like you should. So don't allow worry and anxiety to take you away from resting in God. But give yourself to Him. And then rest in the fact that He will take care of you. God is able to keep that which you have committed to Him. If you will leave yourself in His hands, He will bring you off more than conqueror through Him that has loved you. So look up and live. No longer look down and die. But put yourself in the hands of God and rest in what God will do for you. And everything will come out okay. God will bring you off more than conqueror through Him that has loved you. Are there any comment or questions before we move on, dear ones?
In some ways, dear brother, this little section right here that you just began to share and expound upon touches on many of the little issues that were brought up even in the blessed time that we had, the opening of Sabbath, dark portion of the Sabbath last night. So I'm just amazed at how this ties in so well and just confirms a lot of what we were talking about last night, that all this is in the Lord's hands.
Amen. And you know, it's marvelous how God arranges the timing of things. Because last Sabbath, or last youth and adult Sabbath school, we had ended the paragraph just before this one. And now we're reading this paragraph and understanding how truly important it is. Whereas before, we may not have understood the importance of it. But with the blessedness of what took place last night's meeting, this paragraph has so much more vitality to it. And may God be praised. It just, all the words there just jump out at us. And God is indeed marvelous. And His workings for each one of us are beyond comprehension. And praise Him for not forsaking us, but continuing to work in each one of our lives, correcting us where we need correcting, and encouraging us when we need encouragement, and comforting us when we need to be comforted. That's our Godhead, dear ones. They're interested and are intensely working in each one of our lives to bring us to salvation, to help us through all the trials that we're going through. And they do so that we might be conquerors through Him that has loved us. It is truly marvelous to behold and truly humbling to realize that God is doing this for me and for you individually. Yes, He's working on our group, but He's individually working in each one of our lives so that we might be saved, so that we can escape the bondage of the hard taskmaster that the devil is. And instead of reaping everlasting destruction, we could reap everlasting life. That's what the sanctuary is all about, which we have been learning throughout these past Sabbaths. It shows us the Godhead and even the heavenly angels tirelessly working to save you and me from self and sin so that we might become righteous and holy through Christ and have everlasting life. It is truly marvelous and yet humbling to recognize this. Continuing. When Christ took human nature upon Him, He bound humanity to Himself by a tie of love that can never be broken by any power save the choice of man himself. So, the devil does not have the power to break our connection with our Savior. He can throw at us all the tests, all the trials, all the unfortunate circumstances, all the tribulations, all the persecutions, and yet none of those, even if they're all combined on top of each other and happen to us all at the same time, cannot break our connection with our Savior. What is the only thing that can break our connection with Christ? Our own choice to break it. We have to give in to the temptation and commit sin before the connection is lost between us and God. We have to give in to discouragement and doubt before the connection is broken between us and God. The devil doesn't have the power because he's a defeated foe. All he can do is tempt us, but we ultimately make the choice to remain connected with Christ if we look up, or to become broken away from Christ if we look down. So when Christ became human, just like you and me, he bound himself to us by a tie of love that can never be broken by any power of the devil except by our own choice. Continuing. Satan will constantly present allurements to induce us to break this tie, to choose to separate ourselves from Christ. Here is where we need to watch. Remember, we know the battle plan of the devil. So when we see him coming into us through any of these ways to try and break the connection, we can spot him and then take action not to give in to his plans. So Satan will constantly present allurements to induce you and me to break this tie and choose to separate ourselves from Christ. Here is where we need to watch, to strive, to pray that nothing may entice us to choose another master. For we are always free to do this. As long as we're on this wicked world, we have the freedom of choice to give in to the devil or to resist the devil. And if we choose to resist the devil, be sure that you pray to God for grace and strength to resist. Because if you think that you can just automatically resist in your own strength without praying to God for help, your own strength is nothing, and you're going to lose that battle. But God's strength is everything, because he has already defeated the devil and cast him out of heaven. So when you see the devil coming to you and you recognize what he's trying to do, then strive, pray, resist, so that nothing will be allowed to separate you from Christ by choice. Continuing. But let us keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, and he will preserve us. Looking unto Jesus, we are safe. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand. In constantly beholding him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18. So when we see the devil coming to us to try and cause us to give in to his well-laid plans and choose to follow him instead of Christ, let us instead keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, and Christ will preserve us. He will keep us connected with him, protected in the hollow of his loving hands, and you will become changed into the same image of Christ that you're looking upon, and will go from one stage of glory to another stage of glory, or from one stage of character to another advanced stage of character. because the Spirit of the Lord is working upon your heart to bring about this advancing change, this growth in grace. So look up and live. Continuing, it was thus that the early disciples gained their likeness to the dear Savior. When those disciples heard the words of Jesus, they felt their need of Him. They sought, they found, they followed Him. They were with Him in the house, at the table, in the closet, in the field. They were with Him as pupils with a teacher, daily receiving from His lips lessons of holy truth. They looked to Him as servants to their master, to learn their duty. Those disciples were men subject to like passions as we are, which is James 5:17. They had the same battle with sin to fight. They needed the same grace in order to live a holy life. Even John, the beloved disciple, the one who most fully reflected the likeness of the Savior, did not naturally possess that loveliness of character. He was not only self-assertive and ambitious for honor, but impetuous and resentful under injuries. But as the character of the Divine One was manifested to him, he saw his own deficiency and was humbled by the knowledge. So even the beloved disciple John, the one who was closest to the Savior, who lovingly leaned against Christ's chest at the Last Supper, was not naturally like the Savior. He was self-assertive. He was ambitious for honor. He was impetuous and not humble. He was resentful under injuries. How many of us are resentful when people do things to try and hurt us, whether it's innocent or intentional, and we become resentful? Then we're just like John. But as he beheld the character of Christ, he saw his own deficiency, and that humbled him. Continuing, the strength and patience, the power and tenderness, the majesty and meekness that he beheld in the daily life of the Son of God filled his soul with admiration and love. True, there was a comment in the room that John was one of the sons of thunder. That's true. He wanted to go out and kill those individuals that he felt was harming him and his group. Lord, shall we not bring down thunder and destroy those that refuse to allow you to abide in their town for the night? And Christ says, no. Let's just move on. That was John. But yet, as he daily saw the strength and patience of his Lord, as he understood the power and tenderness that he saw in Christ, and the majesty and meekness of his Lord, John was filled with admiration and love. He didn't oppose what he saw in the Lord. He admired it. He cherished it. he knew it was worthy to copy and to emulate in his life. Day by day, continuing, his heart was drawn out toward Christ until he lost sight of self in love for his master. His resentful, ambitious temper was yielded to the molding power of Christ. So instead of continuing to indulge in resentful feelings, he gave it up. He yielded these things to the molding power of Christ. The regenerating influence of the Holy Spirit renewed his heart. The power of the love of Christ wrought a transformation of character. This is the sure result of union with Jesus. If you don't have this moderation of your character to become more in the likeness of Christ, then this is a sure indication that you're not united with Christ as much and as full as you should be. Because the power of the love of Christ brought a transformation of character to John, because he was truly united with Christ. And the same will happen to us if we are truly united with the Savior. Continuing. When Christ abides in the heart, the whole nature is transformed. Now, transformation is a process going from one stage to another stage to another stage until the transformation is complete. That's called growing in grace. It's called being sanctified in the Spirit. It's called being born again and becoming the new creature in Christ Jesus. The new man. And all of this takes place with you being united in Christ. So when Christ abides in your heart, your whole nature will be transformed into His image. Christ's Spirit, His love, softens your heart, subdues your soul, and raises your thoughts and desires toward God and heaven. That's what the Spirit will do for you and me, dear ones, if we let Him work in us. He will bring to us a greater and fuller understanding of Christ's love for us. We'll see the character of Christ in a more full and rich abundance. And thus our heart will be softened by the image that we see. Our soul will be subdued. And our thoughts will look up. And our desires will be toward God, heaven, and eternity. It will no longer be fixed on the temporary, finite things of earth. But it will now be focused upon the infinite God. And we will want to be like Him. We would want to be His sons and daughters. if we will just look up and live. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, before we continue on?
Please forgive my pausing for a moment, because this is all so much really to take in a very rejoicing way, in a very humbling way to really take in, because when we stop and really allow the Holy Spirit to search us through and through, and even as the Spirit of Prophecy helps us to understand that our dear brother John had to be searched through and through until he could truly see the difference and understand his character more clearly, and more rightly so, the beautiful character of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we begin to realize more perfectly how much work is to be done in us. It is a deep searching work. And it is a work that I find every day we must yield to the Master's hand in our lives. And we must even plead and pray, as I see many comments in the room pleading and praying for that. We must do so with the utmost sincerity of our heart, that we are not going to shrink away from the work that must be done. It must be done. And it's not always going to be a comfortable work, but it is a needful work. It is so exceedingly necessary for our salvation that every bit of self is stripped away. And we are truly molded in the potter's hand, broken up if need be, for he has the oil that can mold us into his image. We need to allow that to come. I shudder when I look at myself. I really do. Very often, I shudder when I look at myself and then have to look. And I don't mind looking at the Lord Jesus, but I have to look at him after looking at myself, and I shrink, because how in the world can he even come close to a wretch like me? But he loves me so, and he loves us all. And I say, oh, my lands, Lord, don't ever, ever let go of me. Don't do it, please. I will be so lost. So I thank him for his love, and I ask him for another blow. I ask him for another trial. I ask him to search me more then, because I want to make it. I really cannot, in my heart, I can't see myself. And I know that that's by God's grace. I can't see myself anywhere but in heaven. I don't want to see myself anywhere but in heaven, with my Lord, seated at the foot of God the Father, listening to his every word, rejoicing in his rejoicing. I don't see myself anywhere else but chasing after my Savior, singing praises, learning of him more and more, going where he says to go, learning what he says is now time for me to learn. Through all eternity, I don't see it any other way. And I do pray, dear brothers and sisters, that that's not any form of arrogance or pride at all. I pray it's not. But I don't want anything less than that. I just don't. And not just for me, but for all of us who love his appearing. I want nothing less than that for us. So if that's all I can see,
Lord, correct me if I'm being arrogant, but that's all I can see is being with the Lord. I don't see anything else.
Amen, dear brother. And I don't see that that is arrogance. I see that your focus is upon Christ, who is the hope of glory. And that you see yourself by faith directly with Christ throughout eternity. That's not arrogance. That's a living faith. And that eyesight of faith is going to help steer you into becoming Christ-like, so that that goal, that eyesight of faith, can become a reality. You're looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. And that's where you need to be looking. That's not arrogance. That's the way to salvation. So keep looking there, brother, and keep seeing yourself by the side of Christ throughout eternity. And don't give up that faith. If we focus on ourselves and we realize how far away we are from imaging our Savior, and we keep our eyesight focused on how far away we are from Him, we're going to become discouraged and lost. But after we recognize how far away from Him, and we then turn our attention up and focus upon Him, pretty soon the discrepancy between the two images are gradually becoming one. And instead of being so far away from Christ when you focused on yourself, now you're becoming like Christ because you're focused on Him. And don't let the devil tempt you to believe that it's impossible for you to become like Christ, because he's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. Because Christ, who is our truth, has told us in unmistakably clear, plain words, all things are possible to him that believeth in God. So no matter how far away you are in reality from imaging the Savior in character, doesn't matter, as long as you're focused on Christ, you will eventually become like Him in character. So again, look up and live. Continuing, when Christ ascended to heaven, the sense of his presence was still with his followers. And now on page 74. It was a personal presence full of life, or full of love and light. Jesus, the Savior, who had walked and talked and prayed with them, who had spoken hope and comfort to their hearts, had, while the message of peace was still upon his lips, been taken up from them into heaven. And the tones of his voice had come back to them as the cloud of angels received him. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Which is Matthew 28, verse 20. He had ascended to heaven in the form of humanity. They knew that he was before the throne of God, their friend and Savior still, that his sympathies were unchanged, that he was still identified with suffering humanity. remember, he's both God and man at the same time forever, dear ones. He just didn't take humanity for his 30-some years on this earth, and then when he went back to heaven, he's just God without being human anymore. Christ is human forever, as well as God forever. Thus, through Christ, we're connected with our elder human brother as well as our mighty God. So when Christ ascended off the earth to heaven, the disciples knew that they had a friend, a brother, a Savior standing before the throne of the infinite. They knew that his sympathies were unchanged toward them because he was human. He knew what they were going through, and they knew that he wasn't going to abandon them. And our Savior is still human. And he still is not abandoning his followers. But his sympathies are unchanged. He loves you, dear one. He sympathizes with your pain and suffering that you're going through, because he's gone through it himself. Praise the Lord indeed, dear one. We have an intercessor who knows what we're going through, and thus he can comfort us in any time of need if we will just look to him. So the disciples knew that their Savior was standing before the throne of God, that he was still their friend, that his sympathies had not changed for them, that he was still identified with suffering human beings. Continuing, he was presenting before God the merits of his own precious blood, showing his wounded hands and feet in remembrance of the price he had paid for his redeemed, for you and me. They knew that he had ascended to heaven to prepare places for them, and that he would come again and take them to himself. The disciples understood that, and we need to also understand that. We have a human Savior standing before the throne of God who is united with you and me in everything that we go through. And as long as we look up and are connected with our Savior, we have direct access to the throne of the Almighty, and indeed have the grace, the strength, and the divine power to say no to every temptation and enticement to sin, and say yes to God. So, all things are possible to those who believe. With God, everything is possible to overcome and gain eternal life through our connecting link between God and man, which is the Lord Christ Jesus. our human elder brother. So the disciples recognize this marvelous fact of truth, and so must we. What did this truth and realization of the disciples allow them to do? Continuing. As they met together after the ascension, they were eager to present their request to the Father in the name of Jesus. In solemn awe, they bowed in prayer, repeating the assurance, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Which is John 16:23-24. They extended the hand of faith higher and higher with the mighty argument, "It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." This is Romans 8:34. And Pentecost brought them the presence of the Comforter, of whom Christ had said, "He shall be in you." And he had further said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Which is John 14:17-16:7. Henceforth, through the Spirit, Christ was to abide continually in the hearts of his children. Their union with him was closer than when he was personally with them. The light and love and power of the indwelling Christ shone out through them, so that men beholding marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Which is Acts 4:13. So this knowledge and understanding of what Christ was to them, and that he was now before the Father interceding for them, allowed the disciples to do these things. They were prepared for Pentecost. And then after Pentecost, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the entire known world at that time. So then if we understand these same truths, what's going to happen with us, dear ones? We will be enabled to partake of the fullness of the latter rain, and indeed spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ around this entire world. Continuing, all that Christ was to the disciples, he desires to be to his children today, to you and me, dear one. For in that last prayer, with the little band of disciples gathered about him, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Which is John 17:20. So all that Christ was to his disciples, he is for us as well today. And I pray that as we've gone through the series on the sanctuary, that you can clearly understand that Jesus is indeed the same human Savior as he was for the disciples. And he's the same for you now, dear ones. And even greater things can be done through you if you will just look up and live. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we close, dear one? Please go right ahead.
Bless the Sabbath, everyone. How are you? There was something I wanted to share. I was moved to share something today, and I'm so glad it was part of the reading for today. It's about as we walk the Christian life, and as we start walking on the Christian path, we're trying to be like Christ. The disciples, they never call themselves Christians. It was the Gentiles who called the people of God Christians because they said, these men are Christ-like. And today, so many people are saying, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But every day, we have to earn that name. We have to remember, no matter what we're doing or how we're doing it, that who we represent Christ. And He sent us out to give the gospel to those around the world. So we shouldn't take the name so lightly. One of the things that I remember that I also wanted to share was that we know the goal of it, that what we want to reach is to reach the perfection of Christ. We want to reach there. But when we share with those who's never heard of Him, who don't understand, I think that we should, you know, all of us in general, we should also don't forget to express the walk to get there, you know, because a lot of those, when they hear it, they feel like, how am I going to get there? I don't know how am I going to be able to reach there. You know, one person is fighting, has alcohol drinking problems. Another person is battling with drugs. Another person is doing, you know, battling with something else. And to us, we feel it's the extreme. But all sin is the same sin. But to them, in their mind, they don't know. They're thinking, oh no, how am I going to get, you know, we have to always point to Christ and not point to us. We have to point to Christ and say, follow Him, you know, and we have to let them know. Because a lot of people, when they see about Christianity or they hear about it, they think, you know, the Christians, they think everything is like all sunny and peachy and beautiful and all of these things. But the reality of the matter is that to accept this walk, you want to accept the name, you have to accept the walk. And it's hardship, and it's toil, and it's required perseverance, and it's required endurance, and you have to stick to it. You have to strive to be among those that are going to make it. You have to strive at it, no matter if you're just coming in. No matter if you've been there for a long time, no matter if, you know, you're somewhere in the middle, everybody is walking the same path. It's just like when Ellen White was giving the example of the narrow path and just walking up the steep mountain, and there was, you know, they had to leave their wagon and they had to leave all their possessions. Until it was only them walking, and then as they were driving and walking, start realizing that there is no room for their feet. And they start taking off their stockings, and the jagged stones was cutting their feet, where they saw, you know, the blood of many Christians that was walking that same path. We are all walking the same path, and we're all following Christ. And we're supposed to uplift and help each other and remember the name that we're claiming. If we say we're Christians, we have to remember that. We have to remember the walk. And, you know, that's all I have to say. God bless.
Thank you so much, sister. And yes, indeed, we need to keep focused upon Christ. So thank you. We've come to the end of our youth and adult Sabbath school time, so let us please bow our heads and kneel for closing prayer. Our dear, precious Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and allowing us to see things perhaps in a greater light than we had before. And please help us not to forget the light that we have seen, but let it continue to dwell within us to bring about a change that we might be enabled to grow in grace and more into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we behold him and continue to look up. Please continue to be with us as we enter into the next service and the service afterwards. And thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and tender love for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let us take just 5 minutes and then come back at 10 after 11 for our main service.